Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Webster-Harris. Today, diving into the topic of unlearning our behaviors. When you have breakfast in the morning, you might wolf it down, chased by a pint of instant coffee, or perhaps mindfully consider each bite that you take whilst you peacefully sip an espresso. Some of us might swallow a colourful set of vitamins and supplements. Many of us are on necessary medication, whilst others unnecessarily medicate. There are a few of us who greet the day with just a simple glass of water. But in this episode, I'm not here to talk about who is right and who is wrong in their morning consumption routines. I am here to consider the building blocks of who we are. Psychoactive drugs like caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, etc. will directly alter your thinking patterns, your moods, and decisions. The pharmacological agents like medicines and vitamins, they affect your body's ability to operate, whether a statin to maintain your blood pressure or vitamin D to maintain bone and muscle and nerve health. They impact your performance capabilities, and this in turn affects your thinking patterns, your moods, and your decisions. Without your blood, let's say you don't have blood pressure management, then you can't safely endure physical or emotional stress. Then you have things like fats and carbohydrates in your food. They give you energy. This allows you to take on the day, and it affects your hormones that influence your priorities. This all in turn affects your thinking patterns, moods, and decisions. Then finally, you have proteins and fats and essential elements that act as the building blocks of who you are, constructing your muscle, your bones, nerves, and even the brain cells in which your consciousness domiciles. These all affect your capabilities like strength, mobility, and clarity of thought. And again, these things all directly impact your thinking patterns, your moods, and your decisions. Whether you struggle to get out of a chair or remember the day of the week, it's a very different set of decisions you'll be able to make for your life compared to being able to lift twice your body weight and remember a grocery list. And so we find that our behaviors, which are the constituents of our personality, these are all directly controlled from several different layers, just on a chemical composition basis. Each layer is acting on a different time basis, from the very short term, like caffeine, etc., to the very long term, like the building blocks of our bones. And the reason I've been saying all this is that it is exactly the same with our memories. The things that we learn that make us take different decisions and pathways of behaving. From an inspiring chat 5 minutes ago, or maybe your favorite music that gives you some confidence and energy, to things like the patterns of love and attachment that were etched into your memory as a toddler. Though the specific moments are long forgotten, the lessons are stored in your subconscious, seemingly as deeply a part of us as our very bones. And so that's all leading up to the concept of talking about unlearning our behaviors. As children, we learn so many things deeply within us. It's a lesson that's stored in a vault so deep even that we wouldn't know how to access it to perhaps change the lesson. But I do believe we can unlearn any behavior. I mean, hey, it's the Growth Mindset Podcast. As children, we are just trying to get by in the world and to please people. And you might not think that's what we're doing, but ultimately, it is transactional to the level of wanting to be part of a group. And we develop this naive sense of what's important. We then spend our entire adult lives trying to unlearn as many of the things as we can and bring back some of the curiosity and open-mindedness that came so naturally to us when we were younger. A personal aggravation for me is the British accent, albeit the bad version of the British accent. I saw a video the other day of a kitten trying to learn British. Each word had a lot of the letter T in it, like Betty Botter Bit Butter. But of course, British people can't pronounce their letters. That's British people can't pronounce their letters for people who don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, in the video, the poor kitten actually ends up having a panic attack at the point where the person says bottle of water. And I sent this video to my girlfriend, who then confessed to me she often feels like the said overwhelmed kitten in the video whilst talking to me. And it just made me realize how stupid it was that I just ignored my teachers when I was young. Because as a child, your teachers will try to get you to pronounce your words properly. And yet, kids will run around talking in slang, they're trying to be cool, they're trying to fit in. And the social drive is much more important, ultimately, than what your teacher says. Yet here I am now, spending my adulthood trying to speak properly so that people can simply understand me, like anybody that wants to listen to me talking on a podcast or my girlfriend. And yes, I do make a lot of effort now, and there's a huge improvement, especially for any of my European friends who definitely used to suffer. And it has definitely been worth me making that effort. This example may have sounded dumb to you, but it really does represent something incredibly prevalent. A few episodes ago on the show, I was talking about attachment styles, which is something that many people struggle with and want to improve. Being able to balance our emotions and create a healthy level between independence and interdependence, whilst not craving closeness yet also not being overwhelmed by it, is hard. In fact, it's very similar with boundaries that I also spoke about recently. And when we look at both of these things, it's crazy how much of this is from our upbringing, whilst it's still here showing up in the rest of our habits. Whether we are willing to follow our dreams or conform to expectations, whether we have the confidence to change career or take on real adventures, or if we wait obediently for permission. Whether we willingly push ourselves out of our comfort zones, or if we fear doing it, or perhaps even we violently reject comfort using destructive behaviors. Those are all patterns that can stem back to our attachment behaviors and our general feeling of safety. So whether you want to improve your relationships, or to push your comfort zones, or just stop sabotaging your potential, these are all behaviors that we learned socially, probably as children, that we now spend the rest of our lives trying to unlearn. And then there are some other issues that seem to be drilled into us, like the classic problem of learning to conform to rigid ideas and stop questioning things and just learning. And this is because not challenging the status quo is a wise strategy for being accepted and staying alive in prehistoric times. If you abandon your tribe, you die. If you eat the mushroom that they tell you not to eat, you die. And that means we are designed to become rigid and learn what is possible and what can't be done for our very own safety. But it's an overfitting problem. The saying that they call you crazy until they call you a genius is a perfect example. Only radical ideas and change can come from rejecting what is known and what is accepted. But then that might give you the idea that you need to take massive action to take control, when I think in many cases it's much more subtle. As James Clear constantly promotes in the idea of atomic habits, that it's the micro actions that build our life, like me week in, week out, putting a bit more effort into pronouncing the letter T in my words. And of course, in life, if you have a growth mindset, you will notice that actions compound. In fact, there are only a few very big life decisions that really impact your life, like who you marry, where you live, what your work is. And most other life-changing things are just a series of very small decisions adding up. Let's say you start a blog. It's not a big thing. Each article that you write will increase your experience in that topic and in writing and in getting feedback. If you write week in, week out, over years, that's a life-changing step from being someone who wants to write more to being an author of thousands of posts who knows what works, they know how to tell a story, they know how to build an audience. they will have become someone who is an expert in their topic and could write a book or even several in that area. Now, writing one blog or one article will not change your life, but writing one article a week over 10 years will, if we consider this and the art of unlearning our lessons of how and who to be. This analogy works perfectly, as you'll see in a second. We have this current idea of what we should do and how we have to do it for basically everything. But now a really snappy shout out for Magic Mind for supporting me this week. Their daily shot of all the good stuff for sustainable energy and focus is one of the best additions to my life. It's matcha tea, L-theanine, ashwagandha, bacopa, 10 other superfood ingredients that are really expensive to source a good quality version yourself separately. Putting it all together and making it easy to take makes a real difference. So if you're interested, magicmind.com/growthms, whilst using growthms20 coupon code, that will give you 56% off your order and there is a money back guarantee. magicmind.com/growthms, 56% off coupon code growthms20 with links in description. One of the benefits of using time, effort, and repeated feedback from the growth mindset is that it can help us unlearn this. It's even better if we don't have expectations and go in with an open mind. Tim Urban is probably my favorite writer ever. He started his blog as an act of procrastination. It was just some of his random brain farts of stuff that fascinated him without any expectations for it. If you've read anything by Tim Urban, you'll know he has this amazing talent for speaking with a childish curiosity about extremely deep topics, yet filling it with hilarious perspectives supplemented with just the dumbest cartoons that you've ever seen and an enticing narrative. When reflecting on his writing, he said that if he'd started writing with the intention of being a writer, he'd have written how he expected you need to write. He thought that if he wanted writing to be a job, he'd have to write normally because that's what writers do. But because he had no expectations, it was just a fun side thing where he wrote in a way that just helped him ponder deep questions and laugh about it all. Yet, over the years of writing week in and week out, he understood what people really responded to and he accidentally built the biggest blog on the internet at the time, and with a completely unique writing style that you couldn't have learned from anyone else. This leads into another really fascinating lesson from the world of writing that has profound insights for the psychology of unlearning behaviors. And this is that every story has a villain. When we are unlearning behaviors, it can be very satisfying to hear that our past or society has caused our current behavior, whether it's the incentives misalignment of modern education teaching us to accept and memorize facts instead of how to question things and learn how to learn. Or perhaps it's our parents for the attachment style they gave us, or maybe capitalism for the way we rushed into a job and worry about money. However, the plot twist in this story is that the villain isn't all these past traumas or these current scenarios. In fact, the only thing that makes us do any behavior right here, right now, is ourselves. The villain is the expectations in our heads. Every expectation we have of what we should and shouldn't do is from our very own thinking. And now, a ridiculous but technically true example is that you genuinely don't even need to pay your taxes. And I mean that you literally don't have to pay tax at a fundamental level. It isn't a law of physics. Now, of course, this is not advice to stop paying your tax. If you want to earn money and reside in a given country legally, then yes, you absolutely need to pay your taxes, and I recommend that you do. But it's a trade that you are opting into. It is your decision. There are only three laws of Newtonian mechanics, which explain the fundamental movement of matter in the universe, and there is no additional fourth law stating that you will perform the necessary movements to pay your taxes. That law does not exist. The point here is that whatever behavior you are doing is in your control here today, and they can be shaken up and changed. If you seek to blame your past or your circumstances, it will only make it impossible to fight the real villain in your head of the expectations of what you have to do. So whatever you do going forwards, remember that your actions are in your control. I'm not saying that it's easy to change them, but it is possible for you to change them. And I hope this short little set of ideas has given you the motivation and energy to work in the short term on the behaviors that follow you around in life etched into your long term. Now, if you enjoyed what I've spoken about, please let me know what you think. It's been a shorter experimental review of some ideas that I basically just had this week from different things that I've been working on or consuming. And I've been listening to a few writing podcasts, as you may have worked out. And of course, I've been writing on attachment and boundaries. And interestingly, I started this episode with just a bunch of notes I didn't think were even that related. And I ended up with a thing that I feel has felt like it planned to all be together. I am releasing this on the weekend as just a test short life lesson style episode to see if there's much value for you as the listener in me collating some of the ideas I have each week and if it should become a permanent part of the show. Again, with no expectations and seeing how like this could add into my life whilst just sort of crafting these sort of ideas and see if they help you with just short little bits of motivation that you might actually be able to act on. I think it could be a nice format going forwards. No promises just yet on it being completely regular. I have many ideas for other experiments to try and serve you better as the listener. And next month, I'm also moving house twice between three different countries. And I have a hernia operation because I gave myself a hernia trying to break the burpee world record because I'm an idiot. And proudly just going to say I did match the burpee world record, but now that I have a hernia, I can't continue pursuing it. So we'll see what happens there. And then please, if this episode helped you, do share it with a friend. It is how the show grows. And thank you so much for all of you who have been sharing the show. Over the last year on Spotify, our audience has grown by an incredible 500%, which is nuts. So thank you so much for everyone who has been sharing. It's been hugely useful. And then I'm always open to feedback. So any suggestions or questions, please whack it in the comments on Spotify or YouTube. And a good rating is so meaningful for me. I can't even say how helpful that is. So please be nice to me today if you can. And remember that life is super short and to be enjoyed. So don't go around putting off happiness or letting your behaviors get in the way. Be kind to yourself, and whilst you're at it, be kind to someone else too.